Welcome to the Cancer Discovery Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Landis. Pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma is a very aggressive form of cancer and is often resistant to cytotoxic chemotherapy. Combined with a tendency to be diagnosed at late stages, this results in a dismal 5-year survival rate of less than 5%. New methods to treat pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma are needed, and Dr. David Tuveson reports in this issue that a combination of gemcitabine and nab-paclitaxel results in stabilization of gemcitabine and potentiation of its activity. Welcome, Dr. Tuveson.
Hello.
Gemcitabine is the current standard systemic chemotherapy for pancreas cancer, but it has only a small survival benefit. A number of efforts to enhance its use are underway. Could you please explain some of these efforts?
Pancreas cancer has been a difficult disease for patients suffering from it. Many of the efforts over the past several decades have been focused on trying to increase the response of patients to cytotoxic drugs. These efforts have been very successful for certain types of cancer like colon cancer, but not for pancreas cancer. And we've been trying from the scientific side to understand why. Gemcitabine is the mainstay of treatment, as you mentioned, and that's a medicine that we can give very easily in the clinic once a week to patients. The medicine has a helpful effect for patients in that their symptoms are decreased and their disease is stabilized, but usually that's a very temporary experience. And then the patient has disease progression, at which point we really have very little to offer. And so you're right, the main focus of many clinical investigators is to try to increase the activity of gemcitabine to the level where tumors could, for example, start to shrink and where patients could be considered for other interventions at that point.
So in these efforts, Dr. Tuveson, how does nab-paclitaxel come into play?
Well, the taxanes have been terrific chemotherapeutics for a variety of cancers, particularly ovarian cancer, breast cancer, and in some situation, lung cancer. Taxanes, when given to patients, particularly paclitaxel, are difficult for patients to tolerate because the medicine has to be dissolved in an oily medium, and patients have to receive medicines so that they don't react to the oily medium. And patients with pancreas cancer, it's been very difficult to give them Taxol because they're already so fragile. And so we haven't really had an opportunity to evaluate taxanes to a deep level with pancreas cancer patients. In the past, there was one trial done by Jeff Clark who looked at Taxotere, a version of a taxane, showing some promising effects, but again, the side effects prevented us from moving this forward. This new formulation of Taxol, which was a clever formulation by a small company on the West Coast, combined albumin with paclitaxel in such a manner that when the mixture was lyophilized, you could reconstitute it with water. And when you did so, the Taxol remained bound to the albumin, and then you could just infuse it easily in patients. This is a formulation that has been found to be very active in breast cancer patients, and some early efforts by Dan Van Hoff and Manny Hidalgo have shown that this formulation is well tolerated by pancreas cancer patients, and when given with gemcitabine, seems to provide a very potent combination for patients.
And my understanding is that progress has been hampered to some extent because we don't understand the mechanisms at play.
This is the common problem we have in solid tumor oncology, Mark, that we aren't able to determine why our drugs work and why our drugs fail, mostly because we're not able to look in the tumors, get biopsies that would be necessary for determining that. And we had this clinical observation in an early phase trial, and we were then able to just apply it to an animal model we have for pancreas ductal adenocarcinoma and ask this, you know, very fundamental question.
So as you mentioned, you turned to a genetically engineered mouse model of pancreas cancer and treated the animals with a combination of nab-paclitaxel and gemcitabine. What did this show?
We found by analyzing the tissue from the animals when they were, the tumor tissue, when they were treated with both chemotherapies together, that the tumor tissue demonstrated a response of the cancer cells to that combination, response being the death of the cancer cells, and it also demonstrated that there were higher levels of gemcitabine in the tumor tissue than we would otherwise have expected. And that was that pharmacological observation led then to a series of investigations to try to understand that. So essentially, we looked at all of the enzymes involved in metabolizing gemcitabine in the tumor tissue and realized that the enzyme that was most responsible for destroying gemcitabine has been reduced dramatically by the combination treatment with the nab-paclitaxel. And that led us to a molecular analysis of that enzyme, which resulted in our observation that the enzyme, cytidine deaminase, has been oxidized and rendered inactive inside the cancer cells, therefore stabilizing the primary chemotherapeutic gemcitabine.
And you found that reactive oxygen species were responsible for degrading cytidine deaminase, and these molecules are generated by paclitaxel?
That is correct. So the taxol, actually part of the nab-paclitaxel, it has been known in the past that taxanes and other chemotherapeutics, as part of their mechanism of action, are to target various proteins and nucleic acids in cells and to generate reactive oxygen species. And we feel this is likely the mechanism by which the cytidine deaminase gets oxidized, because we've lost all of the free glutathione in cells. So cytidine deaminase becomes oxidized. And therefore, the gemcitabine levels build up as the taxol is doing its other job of killing the cancer cell itself. So we have a sort of a two weapons fighting the cell at the same time in a manner that's synergistic as opposed to merely additive.
So it seems that this may have significant implications for how treatment is administered to patients.
You bet. So the observation in mice has suggested to us that clinically we should be considering the scheduling of these medicines a bit differently than they have been given in the past. And so in the past, the approach to treating patients with gemcitabine and nab-paclitaxel at the same time has been the patient comes to the doctor's office, they get both medicines as quickly as possible and are ushered out the door so that more patients can be seen. But what we would suggest would be that the patient should potentially receive their nab-paclitaxel on Monday and their gemcitabine on Tuesday to give a chance for the taxane to get in to the tumor, for the ROS levels to go up, for the cytidine deaminase levels to go down, so that when the gemcitabine is introduced, it actually has a much better chance of building up to high levels and having its cytotoxic effect. And so that's a hypothesis that we can now test first in this animal model, but we're quite keen to investigate that also in a small clinical study involving some of the primary investigators that I mentioned previously.
Thank you very much for being with us to discuss this very exciting study, Dr. Tuveson.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Please read this and the other interesting papers in the March issue of Cancer Discovery at cancerdiscovery.aacrjournals.org.